within heaven and earth, through space and time, there is a jewel hidden in the mountain form. These words are from Yunmen, who lived in China towards the end of the Tang Dynasty. The Tang Dynasty was a very dynamic time in Chinese history. It was a time of great, it was like a cultural renaissance. Poetry, art, and Zen. Many of the great masters, when we think on the history of Zen, Chan in Chinese, arose during this period of time. And that was like from around like 600 of our Common Era to like around 900, 950 of our Common Era. So it was a long period of time. And Master Yunmen was born in 864 and he died in 949, so at the very end of what's considered the Tang Dynasty era. And many people consider him to be like the last great genius of Chan, practicing in China at that time. And these words of his come from Case 62 in the Blue Cliff Record. And I'll just say them again. Within heaven and earth, through space and time, there is a jewel hidden in the mountain form. So mountains are a place of beauty, of mystery, of grandeur. And we on the West Coast are particularly blessed because there are mountains everywhere. As I shared yesterday, I'm from the Midwest, which is very flat. It's very, very horizontal. It has its own kind of beauty, but there are no mountains at all. So mountains have the capacity to surprise us all the time. Sometimes we see them, and sometimes we don't. Yesterday, when we were arriving to Camp Indianola, just there on the horizon, this visage, almost like white on white, of Mount Rainier. And today, where is she? And when Mount Rainier, when Tahoma does appear, we are all just filled with the beauty. We just stop and we breathe and we're filled with wonder and awe. You know, living in Seattle, and I think Bellingham too, and many places in the Northwest, we can go for months without seeing mountains. And then suddenly the wind changes, the sun comes out, and we're just all like, oh my God. You know, but can we ever really know the fullness, the wholeness, the richness of life unfolding in the mountain? The trees, the rocks, the boulders, grasses, shrubs and flowers, caves, rivers, glaciers, all the animals, the birds, the fish, the fungi, insects. The earth herself, the sky, the air, the fire within the great volcanoes whose shadows we all live in. And we know that the very big mountains, Rainier, Baker, Hood, Shasta, they make their own weather. And for centuries, especially in Asia, in China and Japan, Korea and Vietnam, mountains have been a place of refuge for spiritual seekers, for our brothers and sisters on the path. We know that many Chinese Zen masters, teachers whose words we still study today, took their names from the mountains they lived on. Hanshan, literally cold mountain. Dongshan, east mountain. And we ourselves have experienced our own mountain tradition, Mountain Lamp. Mountain Lamp was once a physical space, a practice center in the foothills of the North Cascades. For many of us, it was a place of refuge where we were supported in our practice. For many of us, it was our spiritual home. That particular place no longer exists, but our practice continues. And in some ways, very, very different. In others, exactly the same. True to the vision, to the aspiration to wake up fully to life just as it is right now. To respond with wisdom, with compassion to the suffering in and around us. Wandering Mountain is a continuation of that deep inquiry into the great grave matter of life and death. I think many people experienced awakening at the physical place of Mountain Lamp at Wild Rose Farm. And we ourselves will continue that here, birthing into the nature of reality, the nature of self that is no self. And we experienced death as well, thrust out of our refuge, like a baby from the womb, out into the world. That sense of exile, that longing to return to our true home is deep and universal, I think, in all of us. The knowing that we're not separate and have never been, wanting to manifest that body and mind as one in all that we do, embodying that our true home, our only home, is right here, right now. There is nothing to hold on to, and really, no need to hold on. Nothing to attain. The mountain of form of our practice, our body still and at ease, whether sitting on a cushion, a bench, or a chair, we ourselves are the mountain, stable, strong, solid. As we settle into breath, as our mind stills and our heart opens, the richness, the fullness of life within us and around us becomes available, comes alive. Just coming back to each breath with awareness, just now, only now, the only moment we are truly alive, we begin to explore the depths that lie within, letting go, until all that remains is the song of the bird, the bang, bang, bang of the blind on the window pane, the wind in the trees, the waves and the water. Listen, listen. This wonderful sound is my true self. Not two, not three, no separation at all. Just now. On retreat, everything we do is to support this in deepening, in letting go, and coming back to this one moment. So please, give yourself fully to each moment. Respect yourself. Respect your practice and your own capacity to awaken. Our schedule this week is spacious enough so that we can really slow down. It is truly a luxury to be able to slow down, to not have to multitask and to do 10,000 different things at the same time. And it can sometimes be kind of uncomfortable, because if we're used to multitasking and doing 10,000 things at one time, it's like, wow, what do I do? Who am I? What is all this spaciousness? How can I fill this up? So just be aware of that and resist that temptation. When breathing in, please know that you are breathing in. When you're breathing out, please know that you are breathing out. You may say the words to yourself silently if you need to, if it helps. Breathing in, I know that I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I am breathing out. Bring body and mind together with each breath. When walking, please know that you are walking. Give your wholehearted, undivided attention to each step. Breathing in, I know that I am taking a step. Breathing out, I know that I am taking a step. When standing, when lying down, when working in the kitchen, or cleaning up after a meal, please bring your wholehearted, undivided attention to whatever you're doing. On retreat, we have the opportunity, we have the luxury to be able to establish ourselves fully in awareness, in presence, in mindfulness with all the activities of our body and mind. Wei Nung, our sixth Zen ancestor, call this the practice of seamless one-pointed samadhi, seamless one-pointed concentration. And in practicing this way, we create a lot of energy, both on and off our cushions. And always, we practice for the benefit of all beings. It all sounds very easy, doesn't it? All this mind and body is one, and just follow your breath. It sounds super easy, but I think we have all experienced the phenomena that our body is right here, and our mind is someplace really far away. And if that should happen to you, please don't despair. Just collect yourself the best you can to your ability and bring your mind right back to your body in this moment. Yeah, and we may need to do that many, many times. And that's wonderful. That's perfect. That is practice. You know, and every time we recognize that, you know, my body is here and my mind is someplace far away, and you can bring yourself back, just celebrate that. You know, throw yourself a ticker tape parade. You know, breathing in, my mind and body are together. Breathing out, at this moment, my mind and body are together. And then let that go. And just come back to this breath. And this breath. And this breath. So we have some forms that help us to do this. You know, we have our sitting practice, which is very stable and very formal. And then throughout the days, we have bells of mindfulness. You know, anymore, I am so reluctant to even use the word mindfulness because it has become so changed in its meaning. I'm not very well versed in social media, but even me am aware of this phrase that's going around in pop culture about being demure, being mindful, being cutesy, just as like a way of being present. Have you guys heard that? Well, maybe I do more social media than you guys do. But it's like a phrase that's going around, and you know, like late night comedians talk about it, and so mindfulness, what does that really mean to be mindful? The Buddha talked about it as sati. And can be translated in so many ways. Mindfulness is one way of translating that. Awareness. Presence. And we all know that experience when we are truly present. When we know that we are really here and there is no separation within ourselves. And the Buddha spoke about four great fields, four great areas where we can develop in this awareness. The first is our body. So the awareness of our body in the body. So that when we are sitting, we know that we are sitting. When we are walking, we know that we are walking. When we're lying down, we know that we are lying down. When we're chopping a carrot, we know we're chopping a carrot. When we're cleaning the toilet, we know we are cleaning the toilet. When we're drinking tea or coffee, we know we are drinking coffee. The second great field of awareness to cultivate is that of sensations. And often this is translated as feelings, and I think that's really confusing because in English, in colloquial English, we use the word feelings to talk about our emotions. But this feeling is like sensation, like sensation. And the way the Buddha talked about them is that there are three types of sensations. There are pleasant sensations, there are unpleasant sensations, and there are neutral sensations. And that often our awareness of this is actually like almost like at a pre-conscious level. Like we have this sense that we can't even put into words whether this is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And from that place, then a lot of thoughts and emotions arise. And sometimes we have to be very, very still to see subtly where that sense of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral arises in us. So that's the second great field of awareness that we can cultivate. The third field is awareness of mental formations. And those are the thoughts that arise, the emotions that arise. And that's a whole universe in and of itself. And we, this week, will have a chance to really get to know what arises and passes away in our mind. Because all of those mental formations, something triggers them in us, and the thought arises. And it'll stay with us for a while, And if we're paying attention, we'll notice that that thought passes away. The same with emotions. Something triggers us, there's some spark, and an emotion arises, and it'll stay with us. It may stay a long time, it might not, but it too will pass away. So we have the opportunity this week to really pay close attention to what is arising and passing away in our mind. And we'll have the opportunity to learn how to really hold that and then to release that and let it go. The fourth field of awareness that we can cultivate is that of consciousness itself. And that is also huge and vast. And it's not separate from you and me right at this moment. It is our true nature and the nature of all. And all of these four fields of awareness can be cultivated individually as well as simultaneously. Again, there's no separation. And really all we have to do is to remember to just come back to this breath. Just come back to right now. So to help us do that, there are these bells of mindfulness. So sometimes when we're working or there's just a lot of free time and we're not doing very much, we'll hear a bell. And that's an invitation to just stop whatever we're doing and just come back to our breath and take three very conscious breaths. So breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I'm breathing out. Bring our whole awareness to our body, to our breath. And let go of everything else. Whatever thought, as best we can, let that go. Whatever emotion, as best we can, just let that go. And we stop the activity of our body at that moment too. We just stop. It's also really helpful to practice using gathas. Gathas are very short verses, like little poems, that help us to be more aware of what we're doing. They help us to stay connected and focused. And they, for me personally, were a very important part of my practice when I was just starting. This is an old favorite of mine. It's about turning on the water. So, and we have the opportunity to turn on the water a lot. Fortunately, we have water. So you know you're going to turn on the faucet, and you're standing in front of a sink, and so you just stop for a moment and come back. Bring your body and mind together and take, like, if you need to, take three breaths in, if maybe four, whatever you need, to whatever train of thought, let it go as best you can, and just come back. Bring body and mind together, and then say to yourself silently, water runs high in the mountains. Water runs deep in the earth. Miraculously, water comes to us and sustains all of life. And then turn on the faucet. There are some sheets with gathas that I left on the little table where the schedule is. And they're gathas by Thich Nhat Hanh. He has a book, a little book called Present Moment, Wonderful Moment, and it's just filled with little verses for all sorts of daily activities. And the second sheet, and they're stapled together, is by Eckhart Roshi. And he wrote a book called The Dragon That Never Sleeps. And again, just like little verses. So I'd like to encourage you to just pick up those sheets and just take some time to look them over. And if there's like one or two that just like really call to you, just memorize them and just try practicing with them. Just see what that experience is like. You might even feel moved to write your own gatha. If there's some activity you find that you're doing a lot on this retreat and you don't see it reflected on that sheet, just take a few moments and write a little verse that helps you to really wake up, to really be present. And, you know, to go back to the water, I mean, it is just such a miracle to have water. I lived for a while in Mexico City, and Mexico City used to be a lake, and no longer is. Now it has major problems with accessing water. And, you know, like 20 million people live in Mexico City, and sometimes they're just isn't any water, and it can be quite unpredictable. And I remember one Sunday morning in particular, it was like unusually quiet in the building that I lived in, because there's like in every Mexican building there's like some type of hydraulic pump that pumps water from a cistern in the basement that's filled by the city water system, and then this pump pumps it up through the building. And I woke up and there's like so quiet, and I realized, oh my God, the pump isn't working. And I went into the bathroom and I turned on the faucet, and it was just this sound and no water. And that could sometimes go like for a day or longer with no water. And you feel it. I felt it like really at the cellular level. I could just feel like my cells felt scared to not have access to water. So it is truly a miracle to turn on the water and have it flow to help us be alive. So we have these tools. We have our sitting practice. We have our walking practice. We have our work practice. We have bells that call us back to just here and just now. We have verses that we can practice with. And so all of those together allow us to shine the light of our awareness. So I want to invite us all to pick up a lamp, the lamp of our own awareness, and go into the Buddha hall that is our life, exactly as it is in this moment, which is the only moment that we are alive. And let's just live. Let's just live fully and authentically together on this retreat. It's okay to make mistakes. We just start it again. We breathe. You know, let's just let go completely. Let's just allow the breath to breathe us. Let's turn around the light to shine within us so that we can begin to touch the hidden jewel of our true nature hidden in the mountain form. The true nature, the hidden jewel, which is the true nature of all that is, all things, all beings. The hidden jewel shining, gleaming, reflecting all that is. It's seen only by the clear-eyed. Like a flash of lightning in the dark of night, awakening us from our stupor. So we sit, we breathe, we still our body, and little by little, the busyness of our daily life begins to give way. The whole universe within and without begins to appear. Storms may swirl, winds gust, snow falls. The stories repeat themselves until we can just be with the suffering. And we find when that happens, like we finally find compassion. We can simply be. We can simply be with our suffering and the suffering of the world. And our hearts burst open with gratitude. We are no longer at war. We create Sangha this week together. Community based on curiosity, on inquiry, and love of Dharma. The longing to understand. It's based on the practice, however imperfect, of Dharma. Spiritual friendship such as this is in itself a rare and precious jewel. And it is profound and sustaining. I am grateful to each one of you for your courage and commitment to practice, to take a whole week to come on retreat. I know our lives are really complicated, and I really appreciate setting aside this time together. I'm also grateful for the way that you all, we all, together, uniquely shine our light within and without, and together brighten the face of the earth. So together on this retreat, let's shine the light of our own lives. Let's shine it into the Buddha Hall, and let's bring the Buddha Hall into all our thoughts, all our actions, all our aspirations. No separation at all. The earth, the stars at night, the fog this morning, the Salish Sea herself are all calling to us, come back. Come back to your breath. Come back to your life right now, in this moment. Wholeheartedly, day and night, students of the Awakened One, and that is you and me and all of us together, we have the opportunity to explore together the way of non-harming. And tomorrow we'll take up the discourse on the eight realizations of great beings, and we'll begin to study that together. And, you know, may we practice together in such a way that that the jewel within all of us shines brighter, stronger, and deeper. And may this be for the benefit of all. Within heaven and earth, through space and time, there is a jewel hidden in the mountain form.